Privileged to be here to speak to you this evening. I enjoy preaching and I enjoy sharing what God has given to me, to what he has laid on my heart to give to you. I don't really have a whole lot of time to spend on Light of Hope, but there was one thing that sticks out in my mind when I was preaching there for Light of Hope, and that is the one time I was at Smithfield Prison. And Brother Amos didn't realize that this singing group had changed from what it had been before. And so I was there, and I was waiting till they got done singing to get up to preach. And I was so miserable, because this group that was there was singing rock. And that wasn't rock Christian, because there is no such thing as rock Christian. And I felt bad for Amos because he didn't realize that, but a lot of the prisoners enjoyed it, and they were there clapping their hands and beating along with it, and I was really miserable. I said, God, if you get me out of this place, I'll never come back again. Now, I'll tell you what, let me just tell you right now, don't you ever tell God never, because that's what he's going to make you do, what you said you'd never do. So anyways, I was there, and I was waiting to get up to preach, and I just didn't know what I was even going to say. And there was a black brother that was there, and he must have seen my predicament, and he came over and laid his hand on my shoulder. He said, Brother, are you going to preach tonight? I said, I was supposed to. But I said, I just don't know. He said, well, I'm going to pray for you. And so he laid his hands on my shoulder, and he started praying. And I'll tell you what, the Holy Spirit came, and the shiver still goes up my back when I realize what happened. And I thought, why don't you people that are trying to sing sit down so I can get up and preach? I couldn't wait to get up and preach. And that's not the whole story. The rest of the story is, on our way out to the parking lot that night, two of these rock singers came up and they put their hands on my shoulder and they said, Brother, we never heard preaching like that before. And I said, God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. We don't know the ways of God a lot of times. We don't know what he has in mind for us. And so that's important that we are pliable in his sight and be willing to do whatever he asks us to do, and just rejoice in the Lord. I thought we need to rejoice all the time, no matter what the circumstances are. There's unpleasant circumstances come in our life, but that doesn't keep us from rejoicing. Now, I hear sometimes people, when they, and I'm not picking on them, but when they go to pray, they say, Lord, we come into your presence. And I think God says, whoa, wait a minute. Where have you been all this time? You're supposed to live in my presence. And I believe with all my heart that if we live in the presence of God, we're going to rejoice all the time. We're not going to be happy with everything that's happening, but we'll have the joy of God in our heart. We'll have Christ's joy in our heart. There's a big difference between being happy and being joyful. Happiness depends on circumstances. Joy depends on our relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, that's not my sermon. I was going to preach this evening. You could turn to Luke chapter 10. I'm not going to read much there because I think we all are familiar with that. But I was going to originally preach on the poison of bitterness. Thank you, brother, for having that in the children's lesson, the poison of bitterness. I don't need to preach that now. You already heard what the symptoms are of the poison of bitterness. You know what it does. And so tonight I want to show us how to overcome the poison of bitterness. I want to show us what the cure of that is. And I want to look at chapter 10 of Luke. And here in verse 25, it says, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, let me tell you something. Don't you ever go and ask Jesus for something if you're not willing to get the answer. If you don't want to hear what he has to say, don't even bother asking him. This lawyer, it says, stood up tempting him. This lawyer really didn't want to know what he knew what he should do. But he was tempting the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus said to him, what's written in the law? What does the law say about what you're supposed to do? And he said, well, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Now, I don't recall that being in Exodus chapter 20. But that's good. That's the second commandment. And Jesus taught that. And then Jesus said unto him, thou hast rightly said this, do thou, and thou shalt live. You do this, and you'll live. But he was still not satisfied. He was wanting to justify himself because he, in his heart, knew what he should do, but he didn't know that Jesus knew that he knew what he should do. And so he said, now, Jesus, give me an example of this. And so Jesus did. And that's where we have the example of the Good Samaritan. Well, I want to change that word Good Samaritan to the Kind Samaritan, because that's what my message is about this evening, the splendor of kindness. He was a kind Samaritan. We see what took place. We know that this poor man was robbed and he was beaten. He was left for being dead. Whoever robbed him didn't care what happened to him. He left him go. And then along came a priest, and there was like 1,800 priests, I believe they say. At least I read someplace or 1,200 priests in Jerusalem that would go to Jerusalem. And they looked and they saw. And they said, oh man, we can't contaminate ourselves with him. So they walked around on the other side and left and lay. So the Levite came along too, and he did the same thing. Well, then came along the Samaritan. And he saw him, and he was a kind Samaritan. He had mercy on him. He showed forth his kindness. And that's what we want to talk about this evening, Lord willing. I'll try to make it as quick as I can. I just trust that you will be open and listen to what God has to say for us. So let us pray and ask God's blessing upon the message. Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ this evening. We ask, O God, that everything that is said and done would bring honor and glory to your holy name. We ask, O Father, that your Holy Spirit would take the words that are spoken and help us to apply to our hearts and lives. And Father, you know what needs done in our lives. You know exactly how to do it. We don't know our hearts because you told us that we're wicked and it's desperately evil, and we don't know what our heart is. And so, Lord, you know our hearts, and we want you to check them. We want you to tell us, Lord, what we need to do. We want you to do in our lives what needs to be done. Father, our desire is to be closer to you, to be more like you, and to just allow you the privilege and the authority to do in our lives, to draw us closer to you so that we can be a witness and a testimony to all that we come in contact with. We just give you the rest of the service, Lord, to work in our lives that which is pleasing in your sight. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the splendor of kindness. You know, we can live a long time with one compliment in our life. And a compliment is, I'm not talking about flattering, I'm talking about a compliment. Someone who comes to us and truly thanks us for maybe what we did, what we said, the blessings that we were to them. But unfortunately, you know, most of us are pretty stingy with our compliments. And I think that's something that a lot of people have problems with, because we don't want to compliment somebody on something they did. Don't compliment the preacher on his message because he might get a swelled head. I don't know if that doesn't happen to you, does it? No, it shouldn't. And don't compliment your children. Don't tell them that they did a good job because they might get proud. They aren't going to get proud if you're serious. They're going to appreciate that, and you're going to find out how far that goes. I mean, when you tell a child, you did a wonderful good job. Oh, your room looks so nice. You cleaned it up so well. You know what they're going to do? They're going to try to do a better job the next time because they like that. And you know, you have to be honest with yourself. And I know, I'm being honest with myself. I like compliments too, if they're serious. It just goes a long ways. And there's nothing wrong with complimenting people. That is the splendor of kindness. Tell somebody how much you appreciate them. It will just change their day altogether. Christians should try to withhold the critical words and lavish words of kindness upon people. Not flattery, but kindness. And appreciation for what they do. You know, this is a good test. Now, I don't have a wife anymore because she passed away. But I know it is. I have to watch what I say. And sometimes we say, I believe this or I believe, you know, people don't care what we believe. They want to know what the Bible says. And so the Bible says that husbands, you're to love your wives, and wives, you're to love your husbands. And I want you to start out tomorrow morning. We'll start with the husbands first. Husbands, when you get up tomorrow morning, you just, the first time you see your wife, you just go and tell her how much you appreciate her. You tell her how much you love her. Tell her how much you adore her. Now I know that she might be awful frightened at first, and she'll wonder, perhaps if you had a terrible dream or maybe you took the wrong medicine or something like that. But she'll get over it, and she'll love it. You just do that don't do it just tomorrow morning, but you just do it every morning, and you'll see what difference appreciation makes in her life. I'll tell you, you might get the best supper you ever got. Well, don't do it for that reason, though. And wives, when you get up tomorrow morning, look at your husband. And if you're married, you would be married if you're a wife, and if he's a husband, hug her or hug him and give him a kiss and tell him how much you appreciate him working for you and him honoring you and him respecting you. Now, if he doesn't do that, some husbands don't. They don't tell their wife they love them. They don't show any affection whatsoever. I don't understand that. But that is the way it is sometimes. But listen, you wives, if you do that, they aren't going to be able to help themselves. They might faint at first. They might. And you'll have to maybe go get the smelling salts. But before you get the smelling salts to them, they'll be back. They'll be conscious again. You'll be surprised what appreciation does. Just tell people that you really appreciate what they have done and what they're doing. Well, that works for the husband and wife, and that also works for your children. And children, that also works for your parents. Tell your parents that you appreciate that they're your parents. Tell them how much you appreciate that the love that they give you and the protection they give you and the necessities of life that they give you, the food and clothing and a place to sleep. Show your appreciation. You'll be surprised the difference that makes. And you'll think that it makes so much difference in their lives, but actually, it's making a difference in your life. That's where the difference is really coming in. But it does help. It does help in the other person's life too. Well, a kind Christian is going to leave behind them a trail of happier people. Now, let me ask you, when the people that you meet, are they happier after you leave, or are they sadder? Do they look for more forlorn, or are they glad that you're out of there, or would they rather you stick around a little bit longer? You see, the splendor of kindness is one of the qualities of the Christian life. Jesus was kind. The Apostle Paul was kind. Yes, there was times when they were firm. I'm not talking, that's a different message altogether. I'm talking about kindness, the splendor of kindness. How important that is. You want to see people's lives being changed. I'm talking about people whose lives have been changed by the grace of God. But you want to see, I see some grumpy people sometimes. I'm just sorry, but they would say they're Christians, but they look awful grumpy. They look awful sad. They look awful, they can't put a smile on their face. You know, it's a lot easier to smile than it is to frown. And so, you show them some happiness. You show them some kindness. And they'll certainly change. They'll be different. You say, yeah? Well, you don't know who I come... Yeah, let me tell you a little bit who I came in contact with about 5 months ago after my wife died. It was last summer. And we were working at a job at State College and had a new inspector. And I like to talk to the inspectors. I like to get to know them and what they want to do and all this and that. And so I mentioned to him that my wife had just passed away about 5 months ago. He said, well, good for her. I said, what? Good for her. I said, why? Well, now she can be away from you. And I thought, wow, that's different. It took me for a loop. I didn't know. He didn't even know me. That's the first time I talked to him. Now, what would you do? What would you do? Well, I didn't do anything. I just kept quiet, and so every time I had an opportunity, I just showed him kindness. And I was kind to him. I didn't rebuke him. I didn't do anything like that. Every time I had an opportunity, I was kind to him. And you know, till before we were done with that job, he was so nice to me. He was so kind. And I thought, yeah, I don't know what his life is like. But, you know, my first instinct was to say, well, I pity your wife, because I knew he told me he was married. But I didn't. I used the splendor of kindness, treated him kind. And when I had the opportunity to tell him something that he did good that I appreciated, I told him. And you know, I believe I won him over. Not because I wanted to do that, but because that's the way that Christ would have us to do that. Well, kindness requires such little definition. I believe all of us know what kindness is. I'm not going to get the Webster's Dictionary open and tell you what kindness is. You know what kindness is when someone's kind to you, don't you? And you know what unkindness is when they're unkind to you. And so we know what kindness is, and we know how much we appreciate when people are kind to us. Well, this Samaritan was kind to this poor man who the Levite and the priest ignored. They couldn't have cared less. And you know, sometimes, to our shame, we act the same way. When we have an opportunity to do good to somebody, we're too busy. We have our own agenda. But God gives us many opportunities. And a lot of times I hear people say, well, if I just had the opportunity, then I would do. Well, we have opportunities. God gives us opportunities all the time. But a lot of times we just aren't looking for them. And some people can't see an opportunity if it hits them in the face. But God does give us many opportunities to show kindness to people. This world is so hungry for kindness. And I believe if the Christians were kind and if they would smile a little bit and show people that they care for them, you would see a difference in the community where you live. People would love to be with you. I mean, we have atheist neighbors who say they don't believe in God, but they like to be with me. They like to discuss the scriptures with me, and I like to discuss it with them. But one of the things that sticks out to them is, how can you be so kind? How can you always be happy? Well, I'm not always happy, but I'm always joyful if I can help it. That's a Christian quality, is the joy of the Lord. When the Spirit of God lives within us, and the fire of God burns so hot within our hearts and lives, how can you not be joyful? How can you not put a smile on your face? Wow. The splendor of kindness. The world needs that. The church needs that. The Christians need that. Look at the people in your path. Are they happier since you crossed their path? Are they thankful? Has their lives been changed at all because of that? Do you lift up somebody? Have you lifted up somebody? Or did you leave them with a frown on their face? Glad that you got out of their way. Well, sometimes, you know, when we try to give people admonition, I think sometimes they leave with wishing that you wouldn't have told them anything. But I'll tell you, when you're kind to somebody, they can't resist that. There's something about being kind that attracts them to us and us to them. Proverbs 12 and verse 25 says, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. And Ephesians 4:32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And I'll tell you what, we'll deal with the poison of bitterness better. I mean, I'm not talking about the forgiveness of God. I'm talking about it in our lives. If we're struggling with the bitterness in our lives, ask God to give you kindness. Ask God to make you a kind person. You can't have bitterness against somebody if you're kind to them. You try it some. No, don't try it. Just take my word for it. You cannot be bitter against someone if you're kind to them. It just doesn't work. It's just like trying to mix gas or oil with water. It just doesn't work. And so be kind. The scripture tells us that we're to be kind, tenderhearted, compassionate. We need to cheer up people. And when we cheer up people by our kindness, it also cheers us up. It makes us happier also. Well, one day, I read this story, one day on New Year's Day, there was a millionaire who prided himself in never giving a tip or a compliment to his workers. Well, his chief accountant committed suicide on New Year's Day. I don't know what New Year's it was, doesn't matter. But he left this note, and he said in this note, I have worked for you for 30 years, and have not had one word of encouragement from you in that whole time. So he killed himself. Let me ask you, women, wives, husbands, how long has it been since you gave your partner a compliment? Parents, how long has it been since you gave your children a compliment? You showed them kindness. You want a godly family? You want children who want to serve, who are going to serve the Lord? You want them to serve the Lord? Of course we do. Show them kindness. I know there's a place for discipline. That's a different subject also. But I'm talking about kindness tonight. Employers, you want your employees to do a better job? Show them kindness. School teachers, you want your students to work harder at their schoolwork? Show them kindness. Give them some compliments. I have a story that I want to read. Well, there's one back there too. Yeah, I guess they're synchronized. I have a story I want to read to you about a school teacher at the end of this and tell you the difference that it makes. Maybe you already heard it. Doesn't matter. I'll tell it again. But encouragement. Give encouragement to your employees. And employees, give encouragement to your employer. I'll tell you, it will make such a difference to give encouragement. A little bit of kindness goes an awful long ways. We're never going to meet somebody who does not need kindness, who does not need encouragement. There's always, everyone we meet can always use a little bit more kindness and a little bit more encouragement. We should treat everyone today. Treat everyone today, tomorrow, like as if you know that they're going to be dead at midnight. How would you treat your wives if you knew that tonight they're going to pass away at midnight? How would you treat them? What difference would it make? What would you tell them? I know what some would say, good riddance. But I don't think, I should certainly hope that no Christian would say that. But I know that that's the attitude of a lot of people because the divorce rate is so high. We're talking to Christians tonight, ones who say they love the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you that you don't love Jesus any more than you love the one that you love the least. You follow that? Don't be saying how much you love Jesus if you don't love, however much you love the person that you love the least is the most that you love Jesus. Now, that might be hard for you to swallow, but that's the way it is. Jesus said, how can you say you love me when you never saw me? If you can't even love the one that you did see and live with or work with or whatever it may be. Well, treat them like as if this was going to be the last you saw them. Treat them like that all the time. And I hope that you would treat them with great respect and with great dignity if you knew that. And we should anyways, because we never know. We never know when we're going to be taking our last breath. Practice that every day. Every day, practice that. I'll tell you, it just grieves my heart when I hear how many of the plain people's marriages, they would be divorced. In fact, in their hearts, they are divorced. Yet they would never do it outwardly because they know that's not right. But it just grieves my heart when I see a husband disrespect his wife, when I see a wife disrespect her husband. That ought never to be. Jesus said, you're to love your husband. You're to love your wife, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I remember one time a preacher was preaching and another preacher was sitting back here. And this preacher said how that the husband should love the wife so much that he'd be willing to give his life for her. And he looked back and said, would you, brother? Well, the brother didn't say anything. So I'm not one to let stuff slide. So after church, I went to the preacher brother, and I said, how come you didn't answer that man? He said, because I had to think about it. Think about it? If any of you husbands have to think about whether you would lay your life down for your wife, you better come and talk to me after the service. I'd like to talk to you, because that's not the way it should be. Every husband should be willing to lay his life down for his wife. And every wife should be willing to do whatever she can do for her husband. I'm not talking about marriage. I'm talking about kindness tonight. But that's part of it. That's a big part of your marriage is kindness. Kindness to each other. Well, treating people like that is going to change their lives. And it's also going to change our life when we do that, when we practice that. A man, Proverbs 15:23 says, hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. And then in Proverbs 25:11, the scripture tells us, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Now these apples have much value in God's eye. You know, God says that we're the apple of his eye. And he says that he loves us. And he has our best in mind. And God is so kind. He's so gentle. He's so loving. And he wants us to be the same way. These apples have much value in God's eyes. He looks upon the Christian who guards his tongue and makes sure that he's always has the words of hope and kindness ready for those to hear who God sends upon his pathway. Where do your words fit? Are they apples of gold? Or are they apples with worms in? Are they apples with... is your tongue a tongue of gold? Or is your tongue a tongue that's full of barbs? You just can't wait to tear somebody up. You just can't wait to give them a piece of your mind. You better save your mind, because if you give too much of it away, you won't have any more left. And so God wants us to treat each other with kindness. Oh, it's such a beautiful thing when our heart is filled with the joy of the Lord. When the bitterness is completely rooted out. And all we want to do is be a blessing to those that we come in contact with. No matter how they treat us. They'll change. When we treat them with kindness, they will change. God will change them. Which would you be rather known as? Somebody who speaks with kind and uplifting words, which the Lord considers apples in frames of gold? Or would you rather be someone who has the reputation of letting them know that you tell them what you think? Letting them know that you're giving them a piece of your mind. Letting them know that what they are doing you don't agree with. And you're unkind, and your words are venomous, and they're filled with worms. Sometimes it's harder to be kind to our family than it is to people we don't know. But I'll tell you what, you want to find out whether you're kind or not, ask your family, ask your wife, ask your husband. Do you think I'm kind? And if they do, husband, wife, be honest with them. I mean, if they're bold enough to ask you, then you'd be bold enough to tell them. And that's how you work out your problems. That's how you get things straightened out. You just be honest with each other. Someone told me just recently, now I want you to be honest with me. What do you think about this? I said, that's the only thing I'm going to do is be honest with you. So don't even ask me if you don't want me to be honest with you. So sometimes strangers are kinder to us than our family is. Sometimes the folks that we wound the most are those that we say we love the best. You know, unfortunately, oftentimes we flatter people that or strangers that we hardly know. We give them compliments, but the ones that we know, we withhold our compliments. We withhold our kindness. And we say, well, we need to be stern. They need to know. They need to be taught. Yes, they do. But you can do that in kindness. God wants us to be kind. The closer, listen to this, the closer we come to Jesus Christ, the kinder we will become. The more we will smile, and the nicer we will be. Oh, what a blessing. I don't know any of you people hardly at all. I know my son, Jeremy. But I don't know what your stories are, but we were on a job. I don't know if you've ever heard of that super load or not that came from Erie down to Lock Haven, but we were part of that. And we had some people from Philadelphia that were helping us, black people. And I don't know how we got on the subject, but this black fella, he was probably in his 30s, early middle 30s. And in front of everybody, he looked at me and he said, "You are the nicest man that I know." Now I thought, well, thank you, Jesus. And I just said, thank you, Jesus. I don't know why he said that. But they pick that up. They know. If you're kind, if you're nice, they're hungry for that. And they see that, and they will what a blessing it was. I mean, he could have kept that to himself, but he told me. And it just makes me want to be even more kind, even more nice. And so we need to be people of unusual kindness. We need to be givers of true compassion. If your husband isn't quite what you think he should be kind to him. Encourage him. Compliment the good. And the same way with the wife. If she's not what you want her to be or thought she should be, compliment her for what she is doing. And to be kind to her. And give her encouragement. You'll see a big difference. God will change that person because of your willingness to be kind to them. Our kindness often leads others towards a changed life. Your bright and happy influence and your kindness in the lives of others is going to take care of much gloom and doom in their life. And it's going to take care of any gloom and doom in your life also. You'll be surprised the difference it'll make in your life when you're kind to people. Are you growing brighter or darker in the years that go along? Could it be, and I think it is, there I said, I think it is, but I believe and I'm convinced that our mood is an indicator of the depth of our walk with Jesus. I'll tell you, when you're in love with Jesus, it's going to show. And I don't believe that Christians have to be moody. I don't believe that there has to be a lot of ups and downs. I know there's going to be disappointments. I face disappointments, but it doesn't have to be despair. It doesn't have to cause gloom and doom. We can still be happy and praise the Lord because God has been so good to us. There's no reason that we can't have the joy of the Lord in our heart and the peace of Christ in our heart. I mean, if it's there, it's going to show no matter what the outward circumstances are. How do you change from being a drag to being like the sunshine? Well, we can't change ourselves. That's the problem. But Jesus can. And I'll tell you, when you ask Jesus to do something in your life, you better be prepared for him to do it. I'll tell you, he will do marvelously if you ask him and he knows you're serious. He will do. He will give you the desires of your heart. Oh, it will hurt. Yes, it will. It will be uncomfortable. Yes, it will. But I'll tell you what, when you get the joy of the Lord in your heart and it's there all the time and he puts his peace in your heart and the fire of the Holy Spirit in your life, you wouldn't change that for anything. I wouldn't give it up for anything. Oh, it's such a blessing to be in tune with Christ. I don't know. Do you tell Jesus that you love him? You tell him that? You better. I tell him that quite often. Oh, I'd say, Jesus, I love you. Father, I love you. And I just thank you for the Holy Spirit. It's something we need to do. Listen, he has been so good to us, so kind to us, so loving. Why don't we show him our appreciation? Tell him. Tell him that you love him. Let him know that you appreciate what he's doing for you. He'll make our lives into something of beauty instead of something dark and ugly if we allow him to. Oh, there's just no reason. No reason any Christian has to be despondent. No reason any Christian has to be gloomy. No reason any Christian can't put a smile on their face. Something wrong if you can't smile. I'll tell you, when you have the joy of Christ in your heart, you can't keep that smile from coming on your face. I mean, that's just as simple as I can give it to you. Jesus will make our lives into something beautiful. He will just change our life so much. But he wants us to show forth his kindness. He wants us to be kind. Mark Twain once said that kindness is a universal language. The deaf hear it and the blind can see it. The kindness. I'll tell you, this Samaritan showed kindness. And this man who was robbed and beaten and left for dead, he saw the kindness of this man. I don't know, the story doesn't continue on, but Jesus did say, In the verse 37, I wanted to point that out to you. He said, he that showed mercy on him. This is what the answer was from this lawyer to Jesus. Now that wasn't a hard question. Jesus said, "Now who you think was his neighbor?" And he said, "The man who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said unto him, "Go and do thou likewise." Ooh, I'll bet you that lawyer, he probably thought, "Ooh, I should never ask him to start with." But don't ask Jesus for something if you don't want it. Don't ask him to do something in your life if you're not serious, because he'll do it. He'll take you up. And he will do it. And there's lots of times that it'll be uncomfortable, but I'll tell you, the results will be so beautiful. Oh, you'll wonder why you waited so long to ask him to do that for you. Now he says in Colossians, Paul tells us in chapter 3 and verse 12 and 13, "Put on, therefore, the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so do ye, so also do ye." He says, be kind to everybody. Not just the ones that you love. Not just the ones who treat you nice. He says, you be kind to everybody. That's important. And it'll benefit you. Oh, I'll tell you, that'll get rid of any root of bitterness and any seed of bitterness. You be kind to people. And you say, "Well, I can't. If they'd just be kind to me, then I could be kind to them." Oh, no, that's not the way it works. You be kind to them whether they are to you or not. You let the results in God's hands. He'll take care of that. You know, you can't give a bouquet of flowers to somebody without having that fragrance on your own hands. When you give a bouquet to somebody, that fragrance is going to be on your own. You're going to smell that for a while. And that's the way it is with kindness. Kindness is such a tremendous attribute of God. Charles Bradlaugh, he was a celebrated infidel lecturer in the last century, who was also a man of great talents. And he prostituted to the attacking of the Christian faith. He delivered a scathing attack on Christianity in a well-known London hall. And at its close, he dared any man to answer him. The chairman replied, "No one here is likely to try, Mr. Bradlaugh. We're all of your persuasion of thinking. However," now this was some time ago, you probably don't know what a gas fitter is, but that's a person, that's a workman who installs and repairs gas fixtures and appliances. That was back when they had gas lights on the streets, I guess. And this gas fitter, he got up and he said, "You all know me. I've been a member of this club for 5 years. And he said, "Some months ago, I was ill and not able to work. And to make matters worse," he said, "my wife was also ill. And we were near death. And you knew about our illness. All of you knew that. But none of you came to help us. Not a one of you." He said, "However, there was a man and his wife who came and nursed us and provided for us. Otherwise, neither my wife nor myself would be alive today." He went on to say that that man was the city missionary whom I had driven away from my door many times with threats of death. And he said, "When I was well enough to think, I asked him why he had been so kind to us. And he told me that he had done it for the love of Christ." And he went on to say, "I say that a religion which will bring a man to the bedside of one who has hated him and cursed him is a good thing for this life." And this incident should happen again and again in the lives of God's people. It doesn't matter how somebody treats us. Our response should be a response of kindness, a response of love, and a response of concern for them. Infidelity doesn't like deathbeds. Infidelity is fair weather doctrine that crumbles into dust. And when the storms of life are heavy, especially when the shadows of eternal night settle on the soul, it disperses. It's not there. It's not what they think it was when they face death, when they know that this one of these times is going to be the last breath I take, and there is something after death. You know, they're back again, our neighbors who's atheists. They say that when they die, they're just going to die like a dog or cat. I said, "No, you aren't." And his wife was over at our place when my wife was passing away, and she was there crying, and she said, "Oh, Catherine, I'll never see you again. I'll just never see you again." She was really weeping, and I said, "Well, you can if you want." I said, "You can see her again if you want, but you have to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Accept him as your Savior, and you'll be able to spend eternity with her." I'm still working on them. They haven't become Christians yet, but sometimes some fish are hard to catch. And you just have to keep fishing and fishing and pulling them in a little bit, and sometimes they'll drag it back out again, but you just have to keep. And that's my desire, is to see these two come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I believe God in his mercy is going to allow that to happen. Well, kindness is a personal quality that enables an individual to be sensitive to the needs of others and to take personal action to endeavor to meet those needs. Yes, it takes work on our part. It's not easy a lot of times. It doesn't come natural often, but it is certainly something that will meet the needs of us and also those who we are showing that kindness to. Kind people probably aren't the most famous in the world. They're not the ones who you would see getting a lot of recognition, kind people. But I'll tell you, I like to be around kind people. I think you like to be around kind people also. True kindness is probably best demonstrated quietly without much attention being given to it. I mean, it just comes automatically. You don't think about it. There's things that people think about and they prepare for it, but kindness is beautiful in its spirit and motive. It springs out of the heart spontaneous because it's there. And they're kind because that's just the way we are. Because that's the way God has made us when he put his joy and his peace in our heart. And when we're living in his presence all the time, he has made us that way. And it's something that we don't have to prepare for or plan for. It's just done without intention. It's done it just happens that we're so kind. Kindness is done unconsciously many times. The things that we do consciously with thought and attention oft times have much of self in them. You know, kindness that is spontaneous has no self in it. It doesn't even think about being recognized for what it does. The ministry of kindness is unceasing. It fills all the days and all the nights. Kindness will always be in demand. It will always be treasured. Oh, I'll tell you, people treasure kindness so much. One of the things that is in the most demand today in our society and in our churches. It's one of the most difficult things to give away. Kindness is one of the most difficult things to give away. Why? Because it keeps coming back. The more kindness you give, the more it comes back. And that's the way God has intended that to be. Now I want to read this story in closing. I think it's a beautiful story. And it's about a school teacher and a pupil, but it can be about the employer, employee. It can be parents, children, father, mother, husband, wife, whatever. But this person's name was Teddy Stollard. And it says he was certainly qualified as one of the least. He was disinterested in school, musty, wrinkled clothes, hair never combed. One of those students in the school with a deadpan face, expressionless, sort of glassy, unfocused stare. When Miss Thompson spoke to Teddy, he always answered her in monosyllables. Unattractive, unmotivated, and distant, he was just plain hard to like. Even though his teacher said that she loved all of her class the same, down inside she wasn't being completely honest. Whenever she marked Teddy's paper, she got a certain perverse pleasure out of putting X's next to the wrong answers. And when she put the F's at the top of the paper, she always did it with a flair. She should have known better. She had Teddy's record, and she knew more about him than she wanted to admit. The records read, first grade, Teddy shows promise with his work and attitude, but poor home situation. Second grade, Teddy could do better, Mother is seriously ill. He receives little help at home. Third grade, Teddy is a good boy, but too serious. He is a slow learner. His mother died this year. Fourth grade, Teddy is very slow, but well-behaved. His father shows no interest. Well, Christmas came, and the boys and girls in Miss Thompson's class brought her Christmas presents. They piled their presents on her desk and crowded around to watch her open them. Among the presents was one from Teddy Stollard. She was surprised that he even brought her a gift, but he had. Teddy's gift was wrapped in brown paper and held together with scotch tape. On the paper were written the simple words, "For Miss Thompson from Teddy." When she opened Teddy's present, out fell a gaudy rhinestone bracelet with half of the stones missing and a bottle of cheap perfume. The other boys and girls began to giggle and smirk over Teddy's gift, but Miss Thompson at least had enough sense to silence them by immediately putting on the bracelet and putting on some of the perfume on her wrist. At the end of the day, when the school was over and the other children had left, Teddy lingered behind. He slowly came over to her desk and said softly, "Miss Thompson, you smell just like my mother, and your bracelet looks really pretty on you too." When Teddy left, Miss Thompson got down on her knees and asked God to forgive her. The next day, when the children came to school, they were welcomed by a new teacher. Miss Thompson had become a different person. This, we're talking about kindness. She was no longer just a teacher. She had become an agent of God. She was now a person committed to loving her children and doing things for them that would live on after her. She helped all the children, but especially the slow ones, and especially Teddy Stollard. By the end of school year, Teddy showed a dramatic improvement. He had caught up with most of the class and was even ahead of some. She didn't hear from Teddy for a long time. Then one day she received a note that read, "Dear Miss Thompson, I wanted you to be the first to know I will be graduating second in my class. Love, Teddy Stollard." 4 years later, another note came, "Dear Miss Thompson, they just told me I will be graduating first in my class, and I wanted you to be the first to know. The university has not been easy, but I like it. Love, Teddy Stollard." 4 years later, "Dear Miss Thompson, as of today, I am Theodore Stollard, MD. How about that? I wanted you to be the first to know. I'm getting married next month on the 27th, to be exact. I want you to come and sit where my mother would have sat if she were still alive. You're the only family that I have now. Dad died last year. Love, Teddy Stollard." Miss Thompson went to that wedding and sat there with Teddy's mother, where Teddy's mother would have sat. That's what kindness does. It changes a life so dramatically. And my question to us tonight is, why would we not want to be kind? Why would we not want God to pour out his kindness so that we can overflow into the lives of others? I don't know. I'm not saying this tonight because I in any way think you're not kind. I don't know. I just know that kindness is a rare quality among many people. And God wants his people to be kind. He wants his people to appreciate each other and to give encouragement. It will make such a difference in our lives. It will propel us to higher heights. It will be such a dramatic difference in the life of those that we are kind to. And God's will is for us to be more like Jesus. There's a song that means so much to me. I'm not going to sing it, but it's "Whatever It Takes, Lord. Whatever it takes to be more like you, I'm willing to do." I'll tell you, I want to stay at that place, whatever it takes, Lord.